Just get it off of my shoulders. Don't run me over no more. Stop running. I'm thinking about your strawberries and how I lost everything. I had it all lately. I can't play guitar, but I could bring a radio to your house, play it loud and sing along all day, maybe. In hopes you open the door. Your dog have blinds, so we bark crazy, hoping for more. We in the same boat, but I ain't a ball player keeping the score. Keep my ego in check, but you trying to play guitar.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Interlude. Joining us today are two musically inclined brothers from Hamilton, Ontario, Paulo Leon and Gabriel Marcello. These two are doing it all in the industry, from being independent artists to having their own band called The Beans, who are debuting this Saturday at Winterfest in Hamilton, Ontario, and all the way to having your own collective record label.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
No, let's jump right into it, though. So your record label, it's called And Then You Die. Where did you guys get the idea from to start this initially?
I think it just came from the passion of just creating. I think we've always been, you know, inclined to create and have fun creating. And the love for creating, you know, ultimately led birth to the idea of, hey, why not let's just do it ourselves?
Yeah, that DIY mentality of packaging and processing your own art, whatever medium that might be. So 18, boom. I think it was like really formulated with one of the first shows we had.
At the Shaolin Underground. Shout out Shaolin. Unfortunately, closed down, but it's always a special place in our heart.
I think, it's always been rooted in just creating to the end, kind of like giving artists the autonomy as well, whether that be the mixes or whatever they create, and then bouncing back and forth with ideas with the team on the record. Yeah.
No, that's very interesting, actually. Not every day people are just come up with the ideas to manage artists, especially being a family and doing that. That's very impressive. And when you guys say just the passion to create, where does that passion stem from in your lives, or where did it stem from?
I think a huge foundation for us was just growing up. Our families were always, you know, very, very involved with the arts, always taking us, you know, to see different Latin shows that were happening.
Yeah,
out of Toronto.
A lot of Latin loud bangers.
Yeah, you know, just hearing just the music blasting in like our family home, always music from a wide range of like different genres. I think
NWA
to rock and roll.
To heavy folk music, like Chilean folk music. When the tools were available to me, like making music was always like fun and not like cathartic, but a way of like just express different times in my life. And it's cool to look back on different music and stuff that I've made and say, okay, that's where I was at that point. It's definitely always been there with the fan.
Of course. It's a pleasure. To be creative is truly a gift, for real. When did you guys start playing music?
We had like music lessons when we were like young, but it wasn't anything we followed up classically throughout the years. But drum wise, I've been playing for about 4 years with the band, 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And I had some drum lessons before, like in those tentative years briefly. But I started playing the guitar about a year ago during the pandemic. So just learning new instruments and additionally helping with the production of the album, coming albums as well too. Yeah, what about you, Gabe?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. I think, 4 to 5 years ago, I think is when, you know, I started playing bass, and that kind of really kicked it off in terms of like being able to compose or create, you know, tunes with instruments, live instrumentation. Before, it was namely just providing, I guess, like musical harmony or direction with respect to like rapping or like beat production, you know, mm-hmm. like, or which sample would sound better here.
Using your ear
yeah. heavily, I think, is an old instrument that we've, at least I'm from, yeah, my end, been developing that since, you know, I was a baby, thanks to our family and our roots and the love of music that our family has. I think that was huge in kind of developing that appreciation and that insight and ability to be like, okay, this works here, this doesn't work here, you know, if that makes sense. I don't know.
No, that makes perfect sense. And to me, and I'm sure to many of the listeners that are hearing this right now, it's really raw and real that you guys are able to say, oh yeah, no, we just picked up an instrument 4 or 5 years ago, but now we have a label and we're in a band and we have all these EPs and projects we're dropping and we manage other artists. Like, hearing that is, I can't even put it into words, to be honest with you guys. It's really inspiring. And I'm sure if it gives me a drive, it gives every other person listening to this a drive to just start what you want. And it truly doesn't matter when you start, as long as you do it.
Oh yeah. I wish I took music classes in high school. Maybe
yeah.
Wouldn't speed up the process there a little.
I've had the pleasure of knowing Paulo since grade 9. And whether it was in music, fashion, art, poetry, Paulo was always present and his presence did not go unknown. So for you, having all of those different paths, how did you narrow down your focal point into one?
It came like very organically, but it was difficult in its own ways trying to figure out like what I wanted to make and like not package but create the universe of the album and the works. I think making music was always there, just when I had the tools to actually, you know, create the universe of the album. That's the music was definitely a highlight of it. I think the poetry and like the brief Xander shows that I participated in, shout out to Matt and Sam, it was just building off of like the music that was already there from the beginning. So it's always been like rooted in creating tunes and wanting to express myself that way. And poetry too. I think poetry is a good thing. I've stepped away from the poetry scene a little bit, writing wise, but still facilitating workshops. But performing poetry is something that like I've stepped away from, but I'm still writing and stuff. More focusing on music. Yeah.
Big Hamilton youth poet advocate right here. I love it. But as for you, Gabe, you have a creative brother that looked up to you his entire life. How was the pressure of being that role model, not only as a brother, but as a creative partner?
I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, that I'm able to experience is the fact that we have a very strong and transparent and honest relationship rooted in, you know, respect. And from a creative angle, you know, we always have that respect to say the truth. And sometimes the truth can be a hard conversation to have, but from that foundation and, you know, and growing up, I guess, you know, knowing that we share those values and knowing that I'm open to the ability to also be wrong, you know, in some situations, I think that allowed, you know, our relationship to flourish and to grow to where it's currently at, which is, you know, partners in business, partners in creating, and also bandmates, and it's a beautiful thing, you know. Yeah. I'm really, really happy and honored to be able to share that.
No, honestly, that's so heartwarming. That's really heartwarming, because to share a passion with your sibling, I feel like, is the ultimate goal. You know what I mean? From creating to expanding and advertising and just doing everything side by side. Amazing. But I'm sure it also comes with its challenges. Like you said, having those hard conversations and the bickering and having your little brother tell you that you're wrong, I'm sure does not do well on the ego. So how does it feel to separate your relationship as siblings versus your professional realm?
I think, again, laying the foundation down, knowing our foundation, but also internally as a team, you know, which we also have two other partners that are like owners of Indeni Dai. That's Wack and Mo, who killing it in their own right, you know, superstars, creative visionaries, all encompassing what Indeni Dai is, which is, I think, you know, the next thing, essentially. But going back to that question, I think it comes down to, you know, having that safe space. So we have this internal term where we use, which is called Socrates. So essentially, like, whenever you're like using the key term Socrates, it's like, okay,
blue sky, kind of like anything goes.
Anything can go. You can be wrong.
It can be so far out. Like, but when we do it, all right, like anything goes. So don't knock it. Just hear it. Just hear us out. And then we give it a shot. Yeah. We give it a shot.
Yeah. And then also sometimes, you know, like just having the opportunity to know that, okay, we just need to stop, have this conversation right now. Let's just walk away. Let's just
knowing when to revisit talk and when to not talk, when to listen.
Yeah.
And when to, it's gotten heated. It's gotten heated at some point.
But that's not a bad thing.
I think it's good because it shows that we're passionate about it. And like from that, it comes the best work. Well, at the end of the day, the goal is to just create the best
version
of whatever we're creating, you know, like for the better.
Yeah.
Kudos to you guys, because having emotional awareness when it comes to family is difficult, whether it is in business or just plain out arguments. So for you guys to be able to sit there and be like, let's both shut up and revisit this.
Yeah.
That's, it's a true testament to your relationship and your ability to separate those two. And when you include also Wack and Mo, and you guys also have other artists under the label, if I'm not mistaken.
We have Malaz, who's
our headline DJ.
Headline DJ. She's got an exciting mix coming out as well soon this year from the label. So we're excited to announce that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we have the Beans, which is our three-piece band, which are EPs coming out as well. 2022, big year.
Big year for A2ID.
Like advertising that. And then myself, which is the main artist.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the three main ones. And then just focusing on creating that strong bond as of now, and then reaching out to local artists to scout and see what's going on in the city, because there's a lot of talent in Hamilton.
A lot of great scene, huge scene.
You are not wrong at all. I feel like when it comes to the city of Hamilton and being from Hamilton as well, born and raised, the city goes very underrated for the amount of talent and the quality of talent. And I feel like when you guys sit here and say, not only are we a label that wants to represent individuals from Hamilton, Ontario, but we are from Hamilton, Ontario, that really sets a foundation in like the homegrown aspect and the bond that you guys create. And being friends with the people you're managing, I'm sure that comes with pros and cons. How do you guys feel about that part?
I think like we, as an artist, I always know how it feels like when the conversation and how that conversation is, or between, you know, like business wise, whether that be like venues and stuff. So we just try to facilitate that space in terms of making sure it's all as smooth as possible. And I don't think that's like a huge issue for us, just because we give the artists like full autonomy over their work and stuff. So like if they want to not release this or do or whatever, it's it's ultimately in their right to do so, you know. So in terms of I think like we struck a balance, which it's a pendulum, so like it swings, and like there's bound to be that difficult those difficult conversations. But I think like we just wanted to go smooth as possible, so it's just a matter of like setting the foundation, making it really clear in the beginning when we bring the artists on, and then like once we set it out, it's very talking through.
Very
Socratic.
Very Socratic.
I love the philosophical terminology. really that intersection between scholarly and music. You guys did it amazing. You guys emphasized that not only are you a record label, but you guys are a record label collective. Would you be able to speak on what that really means?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think it comes down to, you know, not having that box. And I think when you hear certain, you know, categorizations of things, you know, of different organizations, of what their like functions can be, I think that sometimes, and I think it also works for, I think the analogy can be used for an artist as well, where sometimes if you put them in that genre, which is not to the fault of the listener, that's just natural, mm-hmm. it can be a little bit of a box. So I think emphasizing the fact that yes, we're a label, but we're also, you know, an art collective gives us that opportunity to have that playful evolution happen, or more organically than quickly shifting gears, essentially. And I think that comes down to just the culture that we created and the culture of the team, ultimately, and the artists that, you know, we bring onto the team as well.
It's refreshing to hear that you're not just managing artists to reap the benefits that the label does, but you're representing artists that align with the same visionary of your label. You know what I mean? And when it comes down to that, how do you, again, narrow your focal point on artists? What is like, what's kind of like, how do I say this? Not the decision-making aspect of it, but more choosing who you want to represent and why you'd want to represent them.
It's a good question.
I think ultimately it comes down to the purest thing possible for us, I think, in the sense of there's that little edge to it that's not currently present within, you know, the mainstream. And I think ultimately we really enjoy each of the artists', you know, music.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it comes down to. And then also not spreading ourselves too thin as well. As a result of like our grassroots, you know, kind of David versus Goliath little kind of thing we have in terms of supporting our artists, we don't want to lose the quality that we're set out to achieve. And I think, again, bringing in Whack-A-Mole on the team when they officially joined and we officially formed, that was in 2020, that really, you know, brought forth that kind of creative decision-making with respect to that design element, which is a key integral part of it. Then you die. We really want to bring design and music together, and we are going to do that, and we're on track to do that. But it's a heavy, you know, it's a heavy task to do that.
The music, in terms of like searching for platform, essentially, we would love to give people the platform and artists the platform to be seen and heard with. And that doing DIY mentality, doing it yourself, keeping it in-house and bouncing ideas off each other, keep the dialogue going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that answers the question.
Very well said. Especially when you mentioned intersecting art and music, I feel like that creates a whole other world of creativity, because you sit there and you have art that represents music and music that represents art, and you see that in like album covers or when artists release, for example, like their vinyls and they have like art inside like the vinyl and you open it and it's just like a whole surprise and it's a different element and it creates a different kind of experience. Yeah. And when it comes down to you guys and the music you guys create, what experience or let's say vision are you trying to give your listeners?
I think I'm trying to give listeners that same kind of an excitement, that joy that I have when I'm looking at an album, for example, like looking at My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I see those different packaging, I see the linear notes, and I see, you know, George Condo cover art, and it's just like that little magical moment between the listener and the artist that, you know, it's kind of indescribable. And I think that's the beauty that we kind of try to create for our artists to be confident enough to know that, you know, we support Bumpa to share that experience. You know, we want each of our artists and their listeners to have that experience as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's kind of lost right now in the digital age in terms of streaming. It's so, it's a pro that it's so accessible, but the con is like you kind of lost that little kind of special
magic
universe element.
Yeah, that magic.
I personally collect records, and that form of music, when you hear it the way the artist intended for it to sound, I think that's what goes underrated. And what goes unseen is the art and the music and the sounds that the artist intends for something to sound like, but gets lost in crappy laptop speakers or no art at all, just because it's one little square photo and people don't really care about it. So when it comes to you guys and your value for art and music, is there any like upcoming plans and ideas that are just out of this world that you guys plan to do with And Then You Die and your artists?
Yes.
There's a lot. I don't know if we can share it right now,
but
it's building up to something, but there's definitely something on road that's nothing like the Many Dives done. The upcoming album of mine, little project of mine, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaving listeners on edge. I love it. It's amazing. But I also want to touch back on your decision-making process as a record label when it comes not only to you guys and how you define your label, but when it comes to you guys and your artists and Paulo being, and as well as Gabriel, both of you being managers and artists, what insight does that give you that helps you create this lovable environment you guys have set out?
I think I can speak to like the producer and like the music, the artist. I mean, there's a special time frame where like, you know, you're listening to a song that I've made just on my ones. I haven't shared it with like the team yet. So there's that where it's like really special. And then boom, I present it. And it's like, it's a playful dialogue, you know, like when puppies are like play fighting, it's like, there might be a little bites and like pounces and here and there, it might get slobbery, but at the end of the day, like you're having fun, you're creating the work you want. And I'll have, at the end of the day, I'll have the creative like foot down. Not to say it's like dogmatic or authoritarian. It's just like, it's very natural to have that place where you can be vulnerable and bounce ideas off of the team. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now.
Yeah. No, for real. And being able to sit there and have the final foot down to people like your brother and your friends. Again, kudos to you, because that's hard. It's not always an easy conversation. So I feel like difficult conversations result in the best possible creative outcome for you guys. And that's really cool.
Yeah. And there have been moments though, where it's like, it's knowing like when to talk, when not to talk, when to listen and stuff like that. So it's like, I have listened to Whack and Noll several times and be like, okay, shit, you know, they're right. Like this is what needs to be done. Okay, fine. Like I'll let my ego to the side. It's very just pushing for the best.
Yeah. Always the best idea.
Yeah.
Of course. And when you guys started out And Then You Die in 2018, if I'm not mistaken, right? What barriers did you guys have to overcome in terms of accessibility to tools, studio time, and just publicity as a whole when you're starting out? How was that for you?
I think the main, I'd say it's just, and I think this is something that a lot of upcoming or artists, you know, that are just starting, it's just finding and building those relationships with different, you know, venues to even have a platform to even share. Like that's step one, is kind of, okay, I want to perform, but where do I perform? And we were very fortunate. And I think as a result of being involved within the slam scene in Hamilton, shout out to the Hamilton you poets, and you know, being able to see, okay, like there is this kind of exposure and community that wants to support up and coming artists, and that gives the courage for to even like just throw yourself out there. Mm-hmm. So we were very, you know, thankful for that and to have that opportunity to discuss with the Shaolin Underground, which is the first venue where we had our first show, mm-hmm. who gave us that opportunity to have it.
It's kind of like a knowledge thing. Like what was a hurdle was like just knowing how to do it. And you never really know until you
actually
just put yourself out there. So I think like taking ourselves seriously, you know, like just saying, okay, you know, like this is it. That was probably maybe like a hurdle for me. And then like money wise, that's money's always money. Like studio time's super expensive.
Yeah. Mixing all that, finding the right engineer.
Yeah, it's like keeping it, how in-house can we keep it and how to make the best product, but also
realizing that you need to engage within your community and the music scene in order to, you know, fully develop your idea further.
Yeah. And then engaging in that would bring equity. And then it's like this, it's when the ball's rolling, it gets together, but it took a while. It's not like, it's just a matter of, it's a project of love and
And love is the gas fuel to just keep it going. Even when you're like,
you know, but it's good.
Yeah. I love it. And I feel like what goes unseen a lot when it comes to local artists and up and coming artists is many artists don't have the money to just sit in a studio and write and screw around and try and get into their creative flow. For example, artists such as like Frank Ocean, Kanye West, like they got money to sit in the studio and spend their entire day. So when it comes to you guys, how do you deal with the pressure of having to have a final form of something and going in and recording it to bring the best possible outcome that you guys want to bring? That's a lot of pressure. How do you deal with that?
I think, what was different with this past album that we were working on is we applied for some grants. And so that really alleviated the pressure of like that, sitting in the studio time, a lot of demos being made in house, like usually being recorded in the ATYD headquarters here. And then we went into the real studio and recorded the polished vocals there. I don't know. The pressure for love, you know, the pressure, pressure makes diamonds. So I think it's necessary.
Just keep grinding
and symbiotic relationship that without the pressure, there's no product, you know? So
yeah.
Very well said. Without pressure, there's no product indeed. And you mentioned grants. Were these grants from City of Hamilton or like Canadian government?
This was the City of Hamilton.
City of Hamilton. Yeah. So having the city support us, which is, you know, fantastic. We've got a really nice relationship, at least with, you know, key members that have that
knowledge on how to write grants, I'd say.
Yeah, like, knowledge on how to write grants and to get it done.
Yeah.
And like that's where we have the upcoming Winterfest show where Paolo's headlining. So that's gonna be super huge this Saturday. So you know, also having fun with it. So like, yes, there is this pressure to, you know, have music be created, but there's also taking the time to recognize the fun of like, wow, this is
nice. And like having that pressure alleviated because we have that freedom with the grants and like yeah, let's just create, let's do a wacky idea. It's like very empowering, I'd say, as an artist to have that.
That's so comforting, knowing not only does your brother have your back, but the city that you're living in also has your back, and the city that you're advocating for and putting your fists up for, like the city you're backing has your back. And I feel like that's all any artist could ask for. You know what I mean? And when it comes to just like creating and getting into, I want to say, your quote unquote creative zone, How does that process look like for each of you? I'm assuming both of you create and you create separate music. So how does that look like?
I think from my own experience, you know, it's just taking the time, you know, and the discipline to, if I'm playing, you know, the bass, it's like, okay, it can't be done without actually, you know, picking her up. So it's just getting into that, like that zone where you're having fun, you're running through scales too, because it's important to, like, you know, do those little routines to get it, you know, your practice and your mojo going. But once you're in that like mojo flow zone, it just comes from that magical realm, you know, that fourth dimension.
I think like when, at least when we're composing and like noodling around as a band, it's just a lot of, again, the blue sky Socrates, just like, you know, what if we do this, what if we do that, being naked, being vulnerable. And then when working individually, I'd say it's a lot of time just sitting in a room, listening to the loop for like an hour and like 2 hours, same loop, and just like dissecting it all, seeing different avenues. Whack and Mole are also very present when I'm like, at least have been in the last album, in the studio while I'm making it. So they're just like hanging out there. Mm-hmm. And those two are really, like, and the team is really the only people I feel comfortable enough to just like sit there and listen on a loop for an hour. Because it's weird. It's just like, yeah, it's fun though. It's just rooted in fun. Yeah, and like bouncing ideas off each other. That's cool. Going in circles here.
That support system that you guys have, to me at least, sounds like a one of a kind. When you have people who, for example, Whack and Mo, that don't actually make music but still have the creative capacity to be like, nah, do this, or you should do that, and have like an outside perspective. Because I feel like a lot of like artists are just like in their own head, and they're like, you listen to something too many times and you're like, nope, that's garbage now. And so to have someone there and be like, you're overthinking, you're fine, it's nice. Yeah. And like personally, again, like I mentioned, like knowing Paulo for that long and hearing his music in when I was 14 years old. And personally for me, when I heard that kind of sound, the different sound you have that not many artists, let alone many local artists, are confident enough to put out there and promote. For me, hearing that, that was my initial thought, was this is my music genre that I want to stick to, the alternative hip hop, alternative soul, and the intersection between poetry and music that you brought, to me at least, and I know I can speak for many people that I was surrounded by, really created a different view for music for us. And for you, hearing that now, hearing me say that to you, how does that support feel and all of that? Because it gets overwhelming. It does. And it's okay to say it's overwhelming, you know?
No, it's when you hear that, when it's vocalized, it's really like, just start, like, it's a dream, bro. It's like, 5 years ago, me, like, today, like, would be like, wow, that, hearing that, that's like awesome. It's wicked. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm like stuttering here. And how does it feel? Like, let me gather myself real quick. It feels really awesome, and it feels humbling, and I'm grateful that like people have heard. And like, you know, when I was making that, I didn't have the impression that we would start a record label. And like, it's love. It's thank you, yo. And it's like pushing me to keep going, you know. Like sometimes I have doubts, everybody has just doubts, you know, those self, but that's love.
Would you think that your 8-year-old selves would ever envision both of you in this position that you guys are in today?
8-year-old, yeah. 14-year-old, no.
Yeah.
The dreams have definitely stayed.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, sorry, just going back to that, I think it's just you know, being cognizant of like, yes, you know, time is passing, but we enjoy, you know, all the process nonetheless. I think, yeah, sure.
When it comes to being a local artist, I wouldn't say from a small city. I wouldn't call Hamilton a small city, but a small community initially. When it comes to, example, like you guys like starting out in high school, there's a lot of criticism that comes with teenagers and a lot of criticism towards others more than themselves. And as local artists who have been doing this for quite a bit of years, how do you personally overcome that barrier and to keep pushing yourself to your vision?
Like, they can't knock it because they're not doing it. You know, it's just like, yeah, exactly. it's at the end of the day, I'm putting myself out there. I want to perform, and that's at the end, like, that's what I want to do. So,
and we're going to do it irrespective of their
opinion. Yeah, it's right? Like,
and at the same time, it's like, but you're not doing this, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
So it's having that like confidence as a result of like the love and passion that we all share as a team, I think, that gives us that kind of ability to just be like
the bravado to keep going.
Yeah, like that's how you feel. Okay, that's how you feel. But yeah. this is we're still gonna do it nonetheless, you know?
But I wouldn't say it's totally like hater-ation.
Yeah, no.
There's lots of support in the city as well.
Yeah. I
don't think it's Hamilton's rooted or like people do love to hate, but I don't think we've experienced any knocking, and we appreciate the criticism at the end of the day. Like, it's like, tell us what's going on. Yeah. So
And it's just like, it's inevitable?
Inevitable.
There you go.
It's inevitable. Yeah.
It's inevitable. Like, people are always going to share their opinion.
Yeah. You know? People have different taste buds. No one's, you know, so. It's cool.
Just a reality, I guess.
Reality. Yeah. We're doing our best. Yeah. So
you're definitely right about taste buds and reality. Taste buds differ quite a bit. But when it comes to And Then You Die, your collective label, comparing it to labels we've seen in the past and the present, how would you guys describe your vision and the way it differs from what's already out there as a label?
I think it's just bringing in, you know, our unique perspective and, you know, our vision. And I think that nobody in the world who has the vision that And Then You Die has. Why is that? Because, you know, the core members are, you know, all share that special ability to get into that space, that fourth dimension, to bring design and music together. And I don't think that's currently happening within the landscape.
While also giving the artists
full creative reign and full creative support.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's their art. And like, we just want to give that platform for people to do dope stuff and express dope things and express how they're feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think like that's traditionally, I guess, record labels or something, like, it's not rooted in that, or
so we didn't maximize profit. What's the trends, you know, like,
but yeah, we also, you know, we want to represent Hamilton and put Hamilton on and just create that environment where people aren't afraid to express and create. Mm.
Hearing that, especially in today's current music industry, you have a lot of labels that truly don't care to do much but reap the benefits of their artists. You have labels that aren't really involved as much in decision-making processes as you guys, and we've seen it all. I always go back to Jerry Heller. The way he operated was very every man for himself, and to be in a cutthroat industry such as a music industry and keep your collective attitude and your love and peace embodiment is difficult. It's truly difficult. And I know you guys face barriers with that. So how do you keep the theme of love that you guys emphasize so much alive and going, especially when it gets hard and decisions become crucial and when it relies on the success of the label?
That's a very good question. There's a certain aspect of like naive playfulness of running their label as, so we're just like, yeah, let's do it. Fuck it. Like, whatever, you know, like let's do it. And, being beside our partners, you know, Wack and Mo and like our team, we like, especially Wack and Mo, they provide like a huge, just like being around them, just like feeling like superheroes. Mm. It's just like working together as a squad, DIY mentality, doing it yourself is at the forefront. So,
I think it's also, you know, just having that awareness to maybe today, let's just have some fun, guys. You know, like, let's just listen to some classic records. Let's listen to some good tunes. Let's go for a walk, even, you know, just having that yin and yang balance of de-stressing, I think is crucial as well. I think that's ultimately, it's just about having that balance and basically taking the time and awareness to say, today sucked. We'll get it tomorrow, though. The sun's coming up tomorrow.
Whoa. Yeah.
I know. I love that. I always say, at the end of the day, it's night.
Well, yeah.
Real.
Last thing I want to ask you guys, what would you tell any artist that was in your position 4 or 5 years ago, listening to this right now?
I'd say, release it, release whatever you're working on. Share it. Don't be afraid. Keep working, keep grinding. All the cliches, man, all the cliches.
Yeah. But basically I'd say the number one thing is probably the cherry on top of that is just remember why you do it, you know, like remember why you start. And I think most artists, I don't want to paint, but it's just comes down to the love and the excitement that one gets from creating. And I think that creation is meant to be shared. Like art is intrinsically meant to be shared with others. So just fuck it. Just share it. Just post it. You know? Post it and then
get back in the lab again.
And get back in the lab again.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And it's been such an amazing pleasure talking to you guys today and picking your brain about music and the industry and your own projects that I am so looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the debut of The Beans. Paulo, your creative coming up. I am so excited for that. And I'm rooting for you guys. I'm rooting for this Home Strong Hamilton label. And I'm so excited to see what you do. And I just want to thank you guys for taking time out of your evidently busy lives to sit here and just talk to someone about the process of it all. Truly.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, thank you as well. Like this is a huge opportunity for us. So we really value it and keep on rocking.
I love that. And thank you for listening to another episode of The Interlude.
Keep my ego in check. Be trying to play guitar more. Devil on my left and Kanye West on my starboard. And get it off of my shoulders. Act like I know you. He is not sober. It's fine. Just get it off of my shoulders. I don't really notice. This ain't the 50s, frankly. It's Paul Leon, not Paul Anka, baby. Ain't it funny when I stand up? My roommate can't stand me. But just get it off of my shoulders. Don't run them over. No motor. Stop running.
Cold shoulder. Who are from my shoulder?
off of my shoulders. Act like I know he is not sober.